Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Hello, and welcome to the 20th episode of Tales for Life. I'm glad you're taking the time to join me on this journey through folk and fairy tales and life. Today's episode is another good one, and I've called it Your Character Always Shines Through. The word character is one of those heavy words that seems to mean more than you can really define. It's more than how you act, what you do, what you think, and yet it's all of that too. And, like a reputation, it's built up over a long time but can come crashing down in a moment. Character is a reflection of who you were in the past, who you are in the present, and perhaps who you will be in the future. While there's a slight tendency to gloss over the character of those in power, it's far from absolute, and there are many people in high positions with terrible character. And, on the opposite end of the spectrum, there are many people lacking position who have tremendous character. After all, character, like many human virtues, doesn't come with a price tag. More than 200 years ago, the Brothers Grimm first published their Children's and Household Tales collection, which contained a story that perfectly illustrates the importance of character and how, sooner or later, who you are on the inside will manifest itself in a way that everyone can see. It's titled simply, Mother Holly. There was once a widow who had two daughters, one of whom was pretty and industrious, whilst the other was ugly and idle. But she was much fonder of the ugly and idle one because she was her own daughter, and the other, who was a stepdaughter, was obliged to do all the work and be the Cinderella of the house. Every day the poor girl had to sit by a well in the highway and spin till her fingers bled. Now it happened that one day the shuttle was marked with her blood, so she dipped it in the well to wash the mark off, but it dropped out of her hand and fell to the bottom. She began to weep and ran to her stepmother and told her of the mishap. But she scolded her sharply and was so merciless as to say, "Since you have let the shuttle fall in, you must fetch it out again." So the girl went back to the well and did not know what to do, and in the sorrow of her heart, she jumped into the well to get the shuttle. She lost her senses, and when she awoke and came to herself again, she was in a lovely meadow where the sun was shining and many thousands of flowers were growing. Along this meadow she went, and at last she came to a baker's oven full of bread, and the bread cried out, "Oh, take me out, or I shall burn. I have been baked a long time." So she went up to it and took out all the loaves one after another with the bread shovel. After that she went on till she came to a tree covered with apples, which called out to her, "Oh, shake me, we apples are all ripe." So she shook the tree till the apples fell like rain, and went on shaking till they were all down, and when she had gathered them into a heap, she went on her way. At last she came to a little house, out of which an old woman peeped. But she had such large teeth that the girl was frightened and was about to run away. But the old woman called out to her, "What are you afraid of, dear child? Stay with me. If you will do all the work in the house properly, you shall be the better for it. Only you must take care to make my bed well and shake it thoroughly till the feathers fly, for then there is snow on the earth. I am Mother Holly." As the old woman spoke so kindly to her, the girl took courage and agreed to enter her service. She attended to everything to the satisfaction of her mistress and always shook her bed so vigorously that the feathers flew about like snowflakes. So she had a pleasant life with her, never an angry word, and boiled or roast meat every day. She stayed some time with Mother Holly, and then she became sad. At first she did not know what was the matter with her, but found at length that it was homesickness. Although she was many thousand times better off here than at home, still she had a longing to be there. At last she said to the old woman, "I have a longing for home, and however well off I am down here, I cannot stay any longer. I must go up again to my own people." Mother Holly said, "I am pleased that you long for your home again, and as you have served me so truly, I myself will take you up again." Thereupon she took her by the hand and led her to a large door. The door was opened, and just as the maiden was standing beneath the doorway, a heavy shower of golden rain fell, and all the gold remained sticking to her so that she was completely covered over with it. "You shall have that, because you have been so industrious," said Mother Holly, and at the same time she gave her back the shuttle which she had let fall into the well. Thereupon the door closed, and the maiden found herself up above upon the earth, not far from her mother's house. And as she went into the yard, the cock was standing by the well side and cried, "Cock-a-doodle-doo, your golden girls come back to you." So she went in to her mother, and as she arrived thus covered with gold, she was well received, both by her mother and her sister. The girl told all that had happened to her, and as soon as the mother heard how she had come by so much wealth, she was very anxious to obtain the same good luck for the ugly and lazy daughter. She had to seat herself by the well and spin, and in order that her shuttle might be stained with blood, she stuck her hand into a thorn bush and pricked her finger. Then she threw her shuttle into the well and jumped in after it. She came, like the other, to the beautiful meadow and walked along the very same path. When she got to the oven, the bread again cried, "Oh, take me out, or I shall burn. I have been baked a long time." But the lazy thing answered, "As if I had any wish to make myself dirty." And on she went. Soon she came to the apple tree, which cried, "Oh, shake me, shake me. We apples are all ripe." But she answered, "I like that. One of you might fall on my head." And so went on. When she came to Mother Holly's house, she was not afraid, for she had already heard of her big teeth, and she hired herself to her immediately. The first day she forced herself to work diligently and obeyed Mother Holly when she told her to do anything, for she was thinking of all the gold that she would give her. But on the second day she began to be lazy, and on the third day still more so, and then she would not get up in the morning at all. Neither did she make Mother Holly's bed as she ought, and did not shake it so as to make the feathers fly. Mother Holly was soon tired of this, and gave her notice to leave. The lazy girl was willing enough to go, and thought that now the golden rain would come. Mother Holly led her also to the great door, but while she was standing beneath it, instead of the gold, a big kettle full of pitch was emptied over her. "That is the reward for your service," said Mother Holly, and shut the door. So the lazy girl went home, but she was quite covered with pitch, and the cock by the well side, as soon as he saw her, cried out, "Cock-a-doodle-doo, your pitchy girls come back to you." But the pitch stuck fast to her, and could not be got off as long as she lived. This morality tale, of sorts, works so well because it rings true on many levels, both positive and negative. On the negative side, we have the ugly, lazy daughter. While folk tales are often simplistic in nature, we know from the get-go that the daughter's appearance is a result of her character. There are never any beautiful, lazy daughters in folk tales. And we find out through the story that she's not just lazy, but selfish and rude. The end result? She spends the rest of her life covered in pitch. In realistic terms, her character so dominates everything she is and is so awful that the result can only be one possibility. Her outward appearance matches it, unappealing and repulsive. But on the positive side, we have our heroine. She starts off behind the eight ball, if you will, very Cinderella-like and having already lost her real mother and now her father as well. She's treated terribly, but she doesn't let the character of others affect her own character. She is, after all, industrious and pretty. Through her journey down the well, we find that she is also kind and respectful. And, just for good measure, she even gets homesick for her family, as bad as it is. In contrast to her stepsister, her character is so golden that it shows in her outward appearance. So much so that even her stepmother and stepsister cannot help but welcome her back gladly because it is so attractive and appealing. The lesson for us is pretty clear. Constant scowling aside, our outward appearance is largely unaffected by the type of person we are. But our inner character will shine through our appearance. Outshine it, if you will, one way or another. When that character does shine through, will others see us covered in pitch or shining like gold? I'm no Olympic athlete, but I'll be going for gold here. And I'm betting you will too.